Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, June 28th, 2009. It is now 7:02 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Or email us anytime, comments at libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. Mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. mytwocentsonline.com. This is a weekly newsletter. Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you folks. It's absolutely free. It's the best in the business. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good evening, everyone. I hope I do not lose my voice. Am I pleased that we're going to have a guest this evening? Because I will not be doing all the talking, hopefully. Our guest is Eddie Garcia. Now, Eddie Garcia will fill us in on his background. But our subject today will be one which is highly controversial. And one which people are concerned about talking about because it almost garners up so much animosity. And that's English as the official language. And this piece of legislation or this movement, I think, is grossly misunderstood. And it must be misunderstood by me also. Eddie Garcia is, in fact, a proponent of English as the official language. I take the exact opposite point of view. And if you stick around, you'll understand why. And maybe we can come to a better understanding. Maybe I'll change my mind. Maybe I'll learn something. I'm sure I will. And hopefully, Eddie will also. He'll be calling in about a minute or two. Before we go on any further, I don't know whether or not we should continue the Cash for Clunker program. I think we did two on the Cash for Clunker program. But I want you to know my wife has been looking for a car, and her car doesn't qualify. So I am very distraught. Would you believe it? We bought a car. We bought a car responsibly that got good gas mileage years ago. And as a result, we are being punished by not receiving a rebate when we buy a new car. But if we bought a gas guzzler, we would be getting $4,500 from the government. Just think about that for a moment, and I think Eddie Garcia is on the line right now. Good evening. Eddie, is that you?
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Fine. I think you need to speak up a little bit. You sound a little bit like you're in a well or far, far away. See if you can turn that up a little bit, because I think our listeners will have a difficult time hearing you, especially over my voice.
How's this? Is that any better?
Not much better. It is a little bit better. There you go. I just heard it good.
Yeah, I took the headset off.
Okay. I'm awfully sorry. Sometimes the headsets are marvels and sometimes they don't work. You see, when we start screaming at each other, Eddie, I want to make sure that you have equal volume on that, okay?
All right. I'll just pretend I'm doing a show and we'll see where it goes.
Okay, Eddie. For the benefit of our audience, I think not only in the interest of full disclosure, you're going to take a pro English as the English language position, and obviously I take the exact opposite. But before we do that, and I know we're going to do this very respectfully, we will not kill each other or say any bad things about each other, but before we do that, would you tell our audience a little bit about you, where you came from, and how you decided to become a pro-English advocate?
Well, Sure. In the interest of full disclosure, I've been told on previous shows and even on my concerts, but I am quite verbose. So if you need to interject, please do so, because I'll continue talking. It'll be 6 a.m. and we'll realize that.
And that's fine, because my throat's killing me, Eddie. So you're on.
Well, let's see. I came to this country. My parents are Cuban and Italian background, and came to this country when we were when I was 3 years old, a little under three.
Okay.
We ended up finally residing in the Boston area, and that's where I primarily grew up. But two of the things that are quite important as an immigrant, any immigrant coming from any country, my parents realized back in the early 70s, I guess it was, that they needed to find work. And as most immigrants did back then, well, some of them, worked multiple jobs to survive, to make it in this country.
Correct.
My dad worked two jobs. My mom worked about 10 to 12 hours a day. I was the only child at the time. And as I tell people in different shows, I was a latchkey student, and a lot of people don't remember what that was.
Right. And my father was an immigrant also.
Ah, yeah. Well, Cristiano's a good Italiano surname.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went to school with the key to our apartment around my neck. So
right.
It's a tremendous amount of responsibility, but it was something that we had to do. The other thing that we had to do, my parents realized, that we needed to learn English. We needed to learn English to assimilate and to survive in this country, and
correct,
to really reap the rewards that this country bestows on everyone that seeks liberty, freedom, opportunity, and a better life. I was too young to start school. I went to public school system. So the way that my parents decided that I should learn English was through television. So they went and they bought at Woolworths a small black and white television set. And for the good part of my life until I started school, kindergarten, I watched Sesame Street, The Electric Company, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and all those educational shows. And I learned English quite quickly. And we can all agree, as the younger you are, the easier and the quicker you're going to learn.
That is correct.
The older, the more difficult. But by the time I was enrolling in kindergarten, I became friends quickly with classmates. I was able to immerse completely into curriculum. There was no bilingual education back then. And it was, you know, the foresight and the fortitude and the courage of my parents to say, one, we need to work because we're not accepting government handouts. That wasn't an option. And
right,
secondly, we needed to learn English, and particularly me, is I was the primary reason why they came to the U.S. to have a better life.
Eddie, may I just interrupt you? May I ask you, and if you don't have to answer this question, obviously you know that, about how old are you?
I am 38.
Oh, so you're a young fella. Okay, go ahead, go. I'm about double your age, but go ahead.
But it was important, and I remember, school was tough. I was probably one of the few that were not blonde, blue-eyed. Got nice olive Italian Spanish skin, and looked quite different in a suburb of Boston. But the one unifying thing that put me together, that brought me together with my classmates, was the language, and there was no difference. We were able to communicate. We were able to integrate in the classrooms, whatever subject it was. And as I progressed through my school academic years, you know, it just became better, stronger to do better in school.
Right.
I am a proud parent of now a 14-year-old daughter. She lives in Florida. And when I was married and we enrolled her in kindergarten, I took her to school. My job, my career was a little more flexible. And at the second day that she came home, I was going through her paperwork, and I noticed that she was put in a bilingual class.
I'm sorry, she was going
and,
put in a bilingual class?
She was put in bilingual class.
Okay.
So the following day, I took her to school, and I asked the teacher, and the teacher shrugged her shoulders. I demanded to speak to the principal, had a meeting with the principal, and at that time, I asked her, why is my daughter in bilingual class? And the principal replied, because of her surname. And I said to her, you put her in bilingual classroom because of her last name being Garcia? And I said, have you ever had a chance to speak with my daughter? She said, no.
What a dumb school she went to, Eddie. That's a dumb school, but go ahead.
Public school in Florida.
Right.
But, you know, they pulled her out of the classroom, brought her to the principal's office, and I spoke with my daughter not only in English, in Spanish and Italian. At the time she started school, she was trilingual.
Right.
The principal's jaw dropped, and she's like, oh, my God. And I said, so have I proven my point? If you don't take her out of this classroom, I'm going to file a lawsuit, and then all hell is going to break loose because I don't want my daughter in that classroom. And unfortunately, a lot of parents who are non-English speaking, they don't know the system. They're intimidated or they're fed incorrect information,
right?
Because we all know, and maybe we'll get into a discussion later, right, that the federal dollars that go to bilingual education are non-discretionary, so they can be used in different facets.
Yeah.
But from that point, you know, she was put into a regular English classroom, and it, for me, it was pivotal to say, wait a minute, you can't be doing this to my child or any other child. You should implement, and I believe there's some implementations, there's some screening, there's some testing that is done to determine the child's fluency, and that determines how they're going to be placed in the classroom. But I guess it wasn't until, 2009, probably November of 2008, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, about a year before 2008, and the end of the summer of 2007, I guess it was. But you know, I'm a musician, and I have been keeping up with the official English.
Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, Eddie, did you say you're a musician?
Yes, I'm a musician.
Oh, what do you play? I'm going to divert just for a second.
I'm lead vocals and guitar of my band.
Oh, okay, great.
We play country music and southern rock and Christian music.
Okay, good. I play the drums a little bit, but again.
Cool. We'll have to collaborate sometime. Right?
Okay, great. I'm horrible, by the way. You're very good, and I'm horrible, but again.
But it was something, I guess, in the fall of 2008 that I was keeping track in Nashville. There was a referendum. And we don't really have time to get into the details of the delays and some obstacles. Before I became a musician, God bless me with this ability to sing and stuff. I used to work in Washington, and I worked in politics and campaigns, so I'm quite familiar with that setting. I kept reading about the official English movement, not only just in Tennessee, but all over the country. And I guess what really drove the point home to me was reading the articles in a very liberal newspaper in Nashville, one-sided, and I said, you know what, I'm going to keep more track of this. And as we were on the road doing concerts and shows, I'd look up online and read the latest and the greatest article, and just very dismayed at just the one-sidedness, but also that I felt like, you know, the facts aren't being put out from a legislative, from a political perspective, but also as an immigrant who grew up in this country, in the New England area, I walked in those shoes. I walked those issues that were being written about and on a one-sided issue. And I said, you know what, I've got to stand up for this. So I called my mom one day, and I said, I got to ask you something. I've been reading about this. I sent her some links, and it was really the deciding factor one evening when she and I were chatting about it, and she said, you know, Eddie, the one factor, the one issue that really struck your dad and I was one night your father came home from work, his first shift job, came home, we ate dinner, then he went for his second night job.
Right.
But she said about 9 o'clock, you had a tremendous fever, 104, 103, and you know, my mother wasn't completely fluent in English. Wrapped me up. Luckily, we lived not far from the hospital. Took me to the ER, and as we sat in the emergency room, I was 3 years old. And if it wasn't for someone in the emergency room that was able to translate, and it wasn't an employee, it wasn't staff, it was someone else there.
Right.
But they translated, you know, and it was that ability to make that communication between the ER physician and my mom that she was able to understand.
Correct.
Now, we can certainly get into the issue of, should that still be, you know, allowed? Should that be given? You know, we can get into that. But when we got home, she tucked me into bed. Everything was fine. That morning, I didn't go to school the next day. But that was when they decided that we need to learn English. as parents in this new country that we're calling home, that this country is embracing and giving us these opportunities, we needed to learn English. And we haven't looked back since. And I said, you know what? I've got to stand up for this. And from my opinion, from my perspective, I'm gonna reach out to the effort and give my two cents as to why I support it. And you know, I jumped on board to support the issue, and I actually cut a radio spot that aired several weeks before the election in January of 2009. That was to make the English language the official language in metropolitan Nashville. But you know, that's to the point where we are right now. Unless you want to jump in.
Okay, I just want to stop for station identification, Eddie, for a second. Folks, you're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. With us is Eddie Garcia, who is an advocate of English as the official language. Obviously, I'm a libertarian. I take the exact opposite point of view, but I promised him that I wouldn't beat up on him too badly tonight. But he is my guest, and I will be respectful to him, and maybe I will learn something this evening, and maybe he will learn something from me. Please call in 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620, with your comments, your questions, and your respectful criticisms. Okay, now, I heard everything you just said. I understood everything you said. What I don't connect yet is how did you come to the conclusion that English had to be the official language from your experience? I must have missed something there. What was the driving force there?
Well, it's several. You know, I have participated on public forums, public committees to analyze and scrutinize bilingual education when I lived in Florida and when I lived in Maryland. And in every instance, I was always dismayed, I was always bewildered why a child, and it would have occurred in my daughter's case had I not had the courage to stand up and say something.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
That a child starting at age 3, age 4, that they're put into bilingual education for meritorious reasons.
Yeah.
But then I found statistically those children of that age group in middle school and in high school still in bilingual education. Something's wrong. I raised both hands, both arms, going, wait a minute, somebody explain. No one's ever had really the courage to explain why. And I've got some bookmarks in here that I've been researching to prepare for the call, but that was one driving point. We cannot, I as a parent just do not agree that bilingual education works 100%. If it's meant to give children an opportunity, a nudge, if you will, to get them to learn the English language so at some point they can go back into regular classrooms to learn with their classmates in English language, they're going to be more successful.
Right. Now,
other thing is what I supported and what I continue to support is when you're dealing with government, local, state, or federal, that the transaction, that business transaction that's done, should only be in English. I don't feel that it's government's role, and I've been researching Ron Paul. I've got some things that he's co-sponsored, and he and I are on the same page. But why is it that government should bear the cost, bear the burden, to provide translators, expend tax dollars, and documentation in a variety of language? You can't exclude a language because then you're faced with discrimination. So you're going to have a plethora of languages on, it's going to be a menu. You're going to walk into like Denny's, say, I want that in Swahili. So to avoid miscommunications, to avoid misunderstandings, I just feel it's more logical. When you're dealing with government, it should be done in English. And that's, I mean, I feel strong about that. It spills over into driver's license exams, and there's several states that have begun legislative action on making the driver's exam only in English, and for most obvious reasons, safety. I've got a couple of examples as I've traveled around the country gigging and playing that I see it, and I interject it in my shows and ask the audience, and overwhelmingly they all support it, that English should be the language to deal with government. The most egregious issue is voting in another language. I respect the fact that I have the right to vote, that I can exercise as an American my right to vote. Now, if you're going to vote for someone, if you're going to, what I feel is a sacrilegious right, if you're going to vote for president all the way down to local councilman, why should that be in another language? That, to me, kind of erodes and dilutes that sacred opportunity as an American that we can exercise.
Okay. I, there's so much of what you said that I agree with. But I'm coming from a totally different universe. The universe that I'm coming from is that we should not have even government providing these services in the first place. So whether it's done in Swahili or in English is immaterial to me. So the only services that the government should be providing are those services which maintain a rule of law. That would be the court system, and that would be a police department, and of course to provide for the national defense, not the national offense. So the problem that I think you and I will have in discussing this is that, in effect, Eddie, you and I are going to be in agreement, but for different reasons. That's our problem. And I think this is what happens with many, many issues. Actually, people are in agreement, and they still argue as if they're in disagreement. For example, I can trump, and pardon the term, but I can trump everything you said by saying, Eddie, could you tell me why the hell is the government even running the schools in the first place? You see what I mean? And so I am caught in this trap where we have a system which is a status system, slowly going to a fascist system. And we're saying, well, now we've got to change some of the sub-rules in the system. And I go, I can't disagree with that. But the problem we have is not the subsystem. It's the system itself. It has to go. The system that we have today is not the system that our forefathers envisioned at all. In fact, it's the exact antithesis. If we had private schools, as it was, you know, prior to the Protestants being paranoid that the Catholics were going to take over the school systems, and they pressured the legislators for the government to take over because they were afraid the Catholics were going to convert them and convert their children because of the great influx of Catholics and things like that that happened. I mean, there were influences such as that during that time. We had a private school system. This it would be a non-issue. If it's a private school system, the private school can say, if you want to come to the school, you have to speak ancient Swahili. And they say, fine, we don't go to that school. I mean, it would be very simple.
Well, I attended private high school. It was a Catholic school.
Right.
And there were probably a dozen or so of Spanish-speaking students, all of whom spoke extremely well English. But, you know, my parents, as I guess my classmates at the time, our parents worked hard enough to make that decision and have that opportunity to say, you know, we're going to put you in a private high school, where I guess they made that choice and that decision that I would receive a better education.
Now,
we can argue on another show whether public school or private school gives a better education. Who knows? That's another hour-long discussion.
Right.
But when it comes to children at those critical ages, at those critical grades, I mean, I've been reading articles. I've got a whole wealth of articles in my hard drive of kids just taking certain classes in Spanish and then a few other classes in English, but then they're going back into their Spanish classrooms. I mean, that to me creates a sense of complacency. It creates a sense of a false comfort level, because now if they're learning, I think, what was the article? I can't remember. It was math and science, core classes, core subjects. They were learning in Spanish. And other stuff, social science, they would go into an English classroom. Well, I guess one has to ask, as they get older and progress through their academic career, you know, do they now become more reliant on algebra and calculus in a Spanish setting?
All right, let me take that for a second.
Really grasp English?
Let me take that for a second. If, in fact, we want more government intrusion, which means the government now tells everybody, this is the official line, more government intrusion, and then these children, and I follow your logic, and I agree with you, and then these children rely somewhat on Spanish, somewhat on English, then somehow the government say, well, you know, these kids, they speak Spanish better than English. Now we got to force these companies to provide Spanish this. From what I hear from you, your disagreement, your beef, is not so much with the English language; it's with the government.
That's what I hear,
and I'm on the same page with you. My beef is for the government, but for a little bit different reasons. Okay, and that's the only.
Well, we can put on another hat, Joe, and say, well, the advantage to government certainly is to keep those immigrants, and this is my opinion, my words, quote unquote, dumbed down, because what does it do for them? It creates a sense of a new voting bloc once they get to that point that they can vote. But they feel that, oh, big brother, government is supporting me, has got my back.
I can't agree with you more. Once big government gets involved in their voting blocks and they have lobbyists, Eddie, I'm on the same page with you. I love you. We're not in disagreement 100%. Here's my problem. This country, now, this was what was supposed to be, and I understand that it is not this way. I'm 66 years old, you know, I've been around the block a few times, got a few black eyes, and I've been there, okay? But I'm a street kid from Harlem, okay, Harlem, New York. So, I'll be very honest with you, this is crazy. As dangerous as that place is, I still can go back there, walk the streets and feel comfortable. And people think it's crazy. I said, you don't understand, when you come from the neighborhood, I think it was called the territory, you come from the territory, for some reason, you know you're going to get killed, but it doesn't bother you. But I digress.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to the North End or South End in Boston. I feel totally comfortable.
Yeah, you understand. Their pants would be wet walking the streets where I go. Now, I used to collect money in Harlem, okay? But that's another story. I will not get into that. But look at this. But I want you to think of this for a second. And you and I are in agreement, Mal. And you see, you thought I was going to holler at you and call you all sorts of names and then hang up on you. I'm in agreement. Here's the problem. Back in the 1900s, all right, 100 years ago, we had immigrants coming in from Poland, from Italy, from Czechoslovakia, from France, all over the place, right? Italy. They came over here. We had more people then not speaking English and didn't want to speak English. They were in the Italian ghetto. I was brought up in an Italian ghetto. I know. I mean, my family, you know, they were here for like 30 years already. You know, you say hello to them. They go, hey, what do you mean? Yeah, they can hardly speak English. And back then, we had so many immigrants working here who didn't speak English, had no interest in speaking English. Now, during this period of time, we became the most powerful nation in the world, the most productive nation in the world, the most envied nation in the world. And no one gave a lick for what language we spoke. No one said English had to be, Swahili had to be a secondary. No one cared. It's amazing to me, and please take this from, step back for a minute, do me a favor, just step back. And now that this, we've become an empire and we're waning, now we're going downhill, right? We're just, by any definition, we are becoming less and less of a major power. Now it's important that we speak English. You see where I'm coming from? Although we didn't have English,
I don't think that's the driving. I don't.
No! It's not the driving force. Absolutely has nothing to do with it. Nothing, Eddie. I'm in agreement with you. Has nothing to do with it. My point being is that we became not only a first class nation. We became the only superpower in the world with no one agreeing on any language, but understanding that if you wanted to get ahead, you had to speak English. And yet now that we are on the downfall, our country is dying, Eddie. I hate to tell you, it is literally dying. Mm-hmm. Now we need to have English as the official language. And I'm saying, if we ever needed English as an official language, we needed it in 1903, not in 2009.
Well, I mean, I remember growing up and, living in an Italian neighborhood, those immigrants, perhaps the reason that you stated that they didn't feel a need to learn English was because, one, there was no government subsidy in translation services.
Agreed.
When an immigrant, regardless of whatever country it was, when an immigrant felt that they needed to go to City Hall, that immigrant took it upon themselves to bring someone they knew, family member or not, to do the interpretation. They did not feel that government should have played a role, so probably that wasn't why it was so.
Eddie, you're a perfect libertarian. I love you. If you're closer, I'd hug you. I'd even kiss you on the cheek. You're absolutely correct. Because what we're doing now is we're relying on government. I'm sorry. We're relying on government.
He took me to the bank to translate for him. So as we've progressed, I think what has eroded some of those values is that immigrants have become, and it could be from those politicians that have an ulterior motive.
Sure they do, Eddie. Of course they do. They do nothing by accident. Yeah. All right, let me just stop for a second. It's time for this. This is great. And I hope you're not annoyed or anything, but I want you to be happy in this program. I want you to tell everybody what a wonderful person I am, okay? I want you to tell all your friends.
I'm excited. I've actually been, the past couple nights, I've been listening to some of the archives. I really enjoy your show.
Okay, great. You know what? And what I'll do, at the end, I'll ask you to send me an email address. I'll send you a Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt. I'll send you the maroon one. It's gorgeous, okay? Free of charge. Let me just take a second out for a second. This is Joe Cristiano. I'm speaking at Liberty Talk Radio. We're discussing English as the official language with Eddie Garcia, who's taking a pro stance, and I'm taking the opposite. But surprisingly, folks, we are in perfect agreement. 646-652-4620. Let me hear from you. Come on, folks, I know you're out there. I know you don't like calling in. Don't let me come out and get you, okay? I'm a tough guy. 646-652-4620. Please call in with your questions, your comments, and your respectful criticisms, please. Now, Eddie, I hate to tell you, this is a terrible interview in one sense. You and I are in agreement. Where we're saying is we're not seeing what the argument is. The argument is government intrusion. It has nothing to do. Back in the early in 1900s, many more people didn't speak English who built this country than today. Even the immigrants who come in. We think of immigrants as the Mexicans coming across the border. And they are. That's a big portion of it. But do you know still, after in the second generation, you have 92% of those immigrants speaking English. Not the illegal immigrant who comes here for a month and runs back again. I'm not talking about those. But they all and you want to know something? Those statistics were better than in the 1900s. So I think we're frightened into that. Now, everybody and your parents, you were blessed with wonderful parents. What they did is they said, if you want to get ahead, you can't walk around speaking, you know, Spanish, you got to speak English. And they made certain that you went to school and spoke English, and you were like only English person, and you weren't any different than anybody else. But that's the responsibility of every parent. If I moved to another foreign country, if I moved to France, and I had a kid in France, and a little baby, would I say, screw the French language, speak English? No. I sent him to school. I said, don't even speak English. I don't care. And do you know, listen to this statistic. This will blow your mind. There are more people in China that speak English than the entire population of the United States. So we don't have to.
Yeah, I read an article to that.
We don't have to worry about, English is dying. The only thing that's dying is the stupid American empire that these politicians, you know, are absolutely killing at our expense. That's what's dying. Now, obviously,
you can also leap ahead that it is killing the English language again. And you said something that kind of piques my interest. You know, government intrusion. Well, I can say that government is intruding in the fact that now government feels that they have to be the big brother and say, no, come to City Hall, come to the state capitol. We're going to provide every language for you, so you don't have to do any work. I've got a dear friend that moved from Moscow to New York City, and she recently got a scholarship to one of the universities here in Nashville, and we met at one of my shows, and at every show, I say something to the effect of official English and why it's important. I also say that, you know, I support multilingualism. My daughter speaks now four languages. She's taking French as an elective.
Fabulous. I applaud you. I applaud you 100 times over. I'll send you two t-shirts.
I support that. But she said she needed to leave New York City because she was earnestly, fervently trying to learn English. But she said all her friends in the borough who spoke Russian, they all said, why do you need to learn English? We can go anywhere, and not talking about a Russian store, a Russian deli. anything to deal with government, and a translator will be provided. So she felt, you know, if I'm going to succeed, I did not leave Moscow to go to the U.S. to achieve what I want to achieve, and she wants to be
agree.
A doctor.
I agree. But to see,
and
in
I'm
that
like,
case,
I applaud you.
But in that case, let's take the kid, the I shouldn't say kid, but the young person, resident, mm-hmm. the young resident in New York who says, screw English, you know, I'll speak Russian because the government will provide a translator for me, right? What mm-hmm. kind of job is that person going to get?
Oh, no.
And I say, fine. Hey, leaves more jobs for me. No, don't learn. As far as I'm concerned, you're making the right decision. I love you. Don't ever even think of speaking English because I have my kids. My kids want a job. And you want to know something? You can't compete against them because when you show up and say Molotov or whatever, when you walk into the interview, they're going to throw your sorrowful behind out. And then my son comes right in. He gets the job. I'm a happy camper. It's a matter of free competition. And, you know, and we have to understand, editor, that, you know, the Statue of Liberty says, give us your tired, your poor, mm-hmm. and your huddled masses yearning to be free, provided they speak English. No, the last part's not in there, right? And that we just wanted everyone. We wanted immigrants. You know, let me tell you another story. You mind if I digress for a second?
No, go ahead. No,
okay. I was in San Diego visiting a friend. In fact, this guy is a commanding officer, believe it or not. Big wig in the Navy, you know. And I actually got to stand and actually go on a Japanese destroyer. Would you believe that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And had sushi and all that. It was fabulous. Anyway, I'm over there, and I'm at this hotel. And I decide, you know, they give you, a lot of them have give you a free continental breakfast. So I go down for a continental breakfast, and everyone's talking. I mean, it's loud as all hell. I mean, talking. And I say, I'm in San Diego, right? And I'm the only one speaking English. Guess which language they were speaking? Now, how many miles away? We're 25 miles from the Mexican border. Which language do you think they were speaking?
In San Diego?
Yeah.
I've been to San Diego. If you're off the base, probably Spanish.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I said, boy, they're speaking Spanish. I don't understand a word they said. They were very nice. They smiled at me. I smiled back, you know. I was actually listening to them, not understanding a word, you know.
Right.
As I got to leave, guess what I realized? They were speaking French.
Oh, really?
I'm not kidding you. And I said, isn't that amazing? Now, most people would be so upset, like, you know, you get the hell out of the country. I thought it was great. Now, my shortcoming, I'll tell you what my shortcomings is. I only have one. I only speak one language. Other than that, I'm perfect. You know? I'm saying, you're right, Eddie. The way things have evolved, it's such a cluster screw-up that we can't make sense of any issue. And that's the problem. We cannot make an issue because then we have government, we have regulations, we have this happens, then that happens. And we say, what happens to the Jeffersonian principle, which is the way how our whole country is based on, where that we totally eradicated from our government. You know, the big argument, and I'll tell you the argument that I thought you were going to give me. I'll tell you, and I'll speak for you. I thought you were going to say, well, you know, can you imagine having an army where everyone's speaking a different language? You didn't throw that up to me. I was waiting for you to do that, but I'm glad you didn't bring it up.
What? I didn't hear you. What did you say?
The army. I thought you were going to say, well, how can you have a standing army where everyone's speaking a different language, you know? And you didn't bring that up. I was really surprised. But anyway, and I won't go into it if you don't want to bring that up. But you see where I'm coming from.
I mean, I'm, you know, that would definitely not work if our military within one branch spoke different languages. Now, if you got a buddy that you're sitting in a foxhole and you both happen to speak Italian, hey, you know what? If you guys want to talk about and reminisce about the old days and talk in your own language, that's cool. But when you're dealing with your commanding officers, when you're putting the lives of your fellow soldiers in danger, you've got to speak English. And on that, I mean, I've got two friends that I grew up with. They both gave their lives. They're both Marines. They were Marines. They gave their lives in Iraq, 1 year apart from each other. They never met each other. But for them to risk their lives and say, you know what, they were fortunate to be born in the U.S., and they said, you know, we're going to go fight for our country and defend. And I blogged it on my blog that we cannot sit and start bitching about should we be over there or not? That's not the issue. The issue as Americans that we should be supporting our troops, embracing them so that they can finish the job
well,
and come back home.
Not
saying whether you're there or not. Now, my friends, They gave their lives. So I took it a step further. I said, you know what? They're out there fighting, as every other soldier is, fighting for our liberty, our freedom, and what we hold and cherish as Americans. One of those things I feel in my heart that it is the ability to succeed, to persevere, and to do well in our country. And success can be defined in many ways for anyone in a different variety. But to achieve some definition, some degree of success, I think we all can agree, we should agree, that that has to come by speaking English, by understanding the English language. And, I mean, my heart goes out to my two buddies. So as we talked about military, oh, yeah. Just, you know, kind of...
Hey, in my days, my friends were in Vietnam. I mean, I'm with you. But I have to be honest with you, Eddie. Let me be honest with you for a second. I got to give you a spanking. I really do. I got to give you a spanking. You know, next time I see you, you're getting a spanking. I tell you that. And I'll do it on the air. So, you know, if you want to sue me, you can put it on the air, okay? You can replay this. He said, there he is. He said he was going to give me a spanking. And he did. I want to sue this son of a gun. But here's my problem.
Yeah.
Our troops are not... Now, don't get me wrong. I support our troops. Don't take this. Don't go down the wrong path on this thing. Our troops are not overseas doing all these crazy things in these mountainous areas, bombing the hell out of these towns for our freedom. They are there for the money changers. The people who own our currency. Listen carefully. Don't interrupt for a second. The people who own our currency determine where our empire fights. You know, we fight in Iraq and we fight in Afghanistan. Iraq has the oil. Afghanistan has the pipeline. We are there. Another country can go to hell in a handbasket. We wouldn't sneeze on them. Understand, it's the money, people who own our currency, you know, to be left unsaid at this meeting, I don't want to go there, are the ones that dictate where our soldiers go to die. And it has absolutely nothing to do with fighting for our freedom. Now, that doesn't mean that I want to see our troops die. Don't go there. I want to see them come home. Now, let me come back to people in the Army, or the armed forces, speaking one language. If we were honest, and we in truly had a Department of Defense, we would be here defending our country. Now, who's going to attack us? Just give me an idea. Who's going? If we're here, who's going to attack us?
Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of.
You want to know something? Can I give you the answer? Can I cheat? You know what? This is like school. You know, I'm going to give you the answer in advance. Okay? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to attack us. The only way someone could attack us is that if they had a missile and they brought it over. But if we know where the missile comes, their country becomes a crater. No one's going to attack us. But let's assume for a second that all the people from Gucciville, I mean, that's a country I just made up, all get on a boat and say, we're going to attack America. We're going to start in New York and go up. And there's thousands of guys on a boat. What would we do? We pick up our arms, right? We'd stand by the harbor and say, hey, I don't have to speak any language. When I see them, they're dead. I mean, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
The warfare changes its complexion 100%. It's not even the same. Now, if you take your soldiers, if the people who own our currency say, we want to own or control that currency, or we want a dictator there, we want our soldiers to go in there, kill, you know, kill everybody. Whoever we take, they got to kill, they got to kill. Go in there to take over this country, and they got to coordinate all these efforts. You got to, then I'm agreement, English only, because you can only speak one language and give those type of orders out. You see what I mean, Eddie?
Well, you got to be able to understand the orders, sure. Cease fire. I mean, presumably.
Yeah, believe me.
Pretty important.
But you understand that 90% of the people in America speak English anyway. So you only have 10%, right? And I'll tell you, the 10% that don't, if in fact we were attacked, you know, where people were charging in the street, you'd be surprised. In 2 days, everyone would, the 10%, they would learn to speak English. The part that don't, the people that, oh, I don't speak English, you know, they speak in their own language. All of a sudden, you find out that they really speak, and they speak enough to know, fire the gun. You know,
Well, if they speak enough to know that, then why are they too reliant when they go take a driver's license exam to get that privilege to drive? Why are they so insistent in taking the examination in their language?
I don't know. I don't agree with it. I'm with you. I don't agree with it. It's stupid. You know, if you had it in Spanish, then you should have it in Swahili. You know, that's my problem. Right. If you have a country, you should have a language that is common. Now, if you want to have it in a foreign language, that's fine. But then that necessitates that every sign in the United States, like in Europe, you go to Europe, how many people in France speak French? Only a portion, because many of the people are from Algeria, many people from Algeria, many people from England, many people from Spain, tons of people from Germany. I mean, everybody, and you know, everyone in Europe speaks four, five, six languages. There is, right. I mean, they may have an official language, doesn't mean anything. Now, we are lazy because when we go to a foreign country, if we go to Swahili land, what do we expect? We expect everyone to speak English. We're spoiled. It doesn't make any sense. I got to break for station identification again. All right, folks, this is your blabbermouth Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. I'm speaking to right now, Eddie Garcia, regarding English as our official language. It looks like we're in agreement, folks. We're supposed to be arguing, but we are in agreement with a lot of things that he's saying. And please call in 646-652-4620. And call in with your comments, your questions, and your respectful criticisms. I'd love to hear from you. Come on, guys. Some nice, the place lights up. It's a nice evening out there. Call up and give us heck, okay? All right. Thank you very much. All right. Go ahead, Eddie. You take off now. I'll give the mic to you.
Well, it's, you're in Oklahoma. So how do, I had the privilege of meeting a legislator from Oklahoma recently, Randy Terrell, State Rep. Terrell. Courageously filed and fought through the legislature, giving Oklahomans the right, the opportunity to vote in 2010 to make English the official language of the state of Oklahoma. And once that occurs, and I'm quite confident that Oklahomans will vote that in, that Oklahoma will be our 31st state. And I feel that if, despite the half a dozen or maybe dozen bills is filed in Congress, again, that Representative Paul has co-sponsored, that if the official English movement does not prevail in Congress, then we take it state by state to the point that says, you know, it is important because we need to unify in one language when you're dealing with government. Everything else, you know what, if you want to talk your own language in your neighborhoods, in your stores, in your grocery stores, that's fine. You can do that. But when you're dealing with government, it should be in one common language. And the thing about commonality and national language versus official, as I've traveled, I mean, we did 200 shows last year, and it's interesting the ambivalence among people to say, well, scratch their head and they go, well, I thought English already was. I said, no, it's common language, but common language or national language has no teeth. Making it statutorily official takes out liberal judges the opportunity that they may have to interpret that law to say, nah, it'll apply in this case and not apply in this case. We have to be uniform. Laws are meant to be uniform so that everybody plays by the same rule book. There are no special favors for someone else versus another person. That's how I feel you can truly achieve the American dream. Everybody's on a plane in the same plane, Levin Field. If you can do that, then you've earnestly earned what you're going to get. But I just don't feel that getting to that point, whether you want to be a lawyer, doctor, musician, a journalist, a radio talk show host, a teacher, you know, without English language, you're going to have a tremendous amount of difficulty achieving that.
You're absolutely correct. If you have a half a brain cell working, you would know that. You'd say, I want to be an attorney. I want to be defense attorney, whatever the case may be. I want to be a trial attorney, or I want to be a tax attorney. But I want to speak only Swahili. What's your probability of ever getting a client besides slim and none? A little less than that, right? So, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You go, hey, if I want to be a trial attorney or a tax attorney.
Well, you're not agreeing on that, but there's a lot of people that feel like, no, I don't need to learn English.
But whose fault is that? Wait, whose fault is that?
I've come across a lot of people that say,
Eddie, I asked you a question. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
Well,
they said that they don't have to speak English.
Their own. And in part,
No. I mean, whose fault is it that they think that way?
Whose fault?
Yeah. Back in 100 years ago, when a lot of people didn't speak English, we became the envy of the world. Now that the world is running away from us, we need the English language to become a great, great nation. Doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. You see what I'm saying? Is that the language has nothing to do with it whatsoever. And the only reason...
Here's a statistic. here's a statistic that research scientists from the Lexington Institute, the gentleman's name is Don Seufer. The title of the report, which was published in April of this year, is The Value of English Proficiency to the U.S. Economy. And it's quite complex and comprehensive book, but what I found in here is nearly $65 billion can be estimated in lost earnings each year in the U.S. as a result of failing to teach adequate English skills to those wanting to learn. It is extremely likely that this estimate understates actual figures.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more, so, because we have a failed school system that's run by the government again, Eddie. I'm telling you, I'm in agreement with you. Believe me, I'm with you. Right. We're coming down different. I'm saying that our school system, I mean, at best, sucks, excuse the expression. And right, you know, 49% or 51% of the students in the major cities, I'm saying major cities, and they consider Tulsa a major city, not only like Chicago,
right,
around the world. And I saw the statistic they had for, it was a couple pages long, of all the cities around the United States. Nashville, they had, you know, you name it, you know, Houston, Austin, everything, right? Only 51% of the students graduate. Think about that. So I'm in agreement with you, but it has nothing to do with English, non-English. It has to do with our failed school system and the government intrusion in
it. As a whole.
I should say the failed government system.
Here's an interesting thing. You know, the Supreme Court just recently ruled in this a case in Arizona. And the Supreme Court, 5-4, they voted and they ruled that the case law that came from, it's called Flores versus Arizona, I believe, that the public school system was not adequately funding English language learning bilingual education programs. The state fought back and forth. It finally, 12, 15 years later, I believe it finally was heard by the Supreme Court last week. So the argument that I made on my blog, and if I could, I'd like to shout out my blog. I'd love for people to come up to the blog. It's proenglishusa.blogspot.com. But the as a musician, this is and as a product of public education for a good part of my life, as a musician, why should monies, federal dollars, federal tax dollars, be continued to fund a program that now the Supreme Court has ruled is inadequate, inefficient, really does not statistically prove its self-sustaining funding, but why is it that those dollars cannot be spent on what we all know works? If you fund the music programs, the arts, and physical education, why are those three programs always liquidated and decimated when it comes to, the budget fell, but they can still fund millions, if not billions of dollars in failing programs like that? That's where I stand up and say, wait a minute.
Yeah, I agree with you, Eddie.
Programs away from kids.
You and I are marching down the street with the same banner. I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
Only for slightly different reasons. It's because the government doesn't do anything for the people. It does things that's politically expedient, which means, how do I stay in office? If they have a dollar and they're going to spend it, and the $1 can save an infant from dying, or they can get another vote, the kid dies. And that's my only point. I'm in agreement with you. I don't think, you know, if the government's going to take over the schools, they should give all the money. I'm saying the government should have nothing to do with our school system whatsoever. And that's the failing of our society. Our society is totally dependent on the government. There are more regulations in the United States than there are in Russia. In fact, I read Pravda once in a while. They laugh at us. They talk about the United States being a Marxist state. Would you believe that? In Pravda. And they say, where the hell are these characters going? I mean, they criticize us for doing what we're doing, and I have to agree with them. You see, so we really have a problem here. If in fact, you know, the school system used to be private, and it was working very well. Look, we don't even own our own currency. Our currency is printed by a foreign conglomeration of families. And we buy our currency from these guys. Could you believe that? Our currency is nuts. And because of that, we have to enact legislation, rules and regulations over rules to keep on patching it up because it doesn't work. And having any one state enact a law, English is the only language, will place that state as a tremendous disadvantage to all the other states. You'd be surprised what the income loss would be. And it won't prove a darn thing. And but I'm in agreement with you. But I'm in agreement with you.
Income loss how?
I'm sorry?
Income loss how?
Well, that state, if English has got to be the official language, you have to understand. You say, well, only with government. What do you mean only with government? Government is in everything. In absolutely everything. So it sort of changes all the rules, all the rules and regulations. So if you're going to do business someplace, are you going to do business where everything now is changed? No, you probably do business, Tennessee's a nice state, but, Eddie lives there, so let's not go there. Yeah, only kidding. Let's go someplace else where it's a little easier to do it. Because, the rule, we don't understand the rule. We don't understand what the rules would be if English is the only language. Especially if you're a state by itself doing
it. Making English the official language, again, deals with a government agency.
And when you say that, what are you dealing with? But the thing is, when we say that, Eddie, my point being is that we can't even define what that means, because everything seems to be tied in with some sort of government something or other. And it's
something that certainly doesn't have anything to do with official English.
Yeah, but 99% of what we do now, anyways,
the government's running banks.
Yeah, but 99% of what we do with government is English anyway. It's but I understand. We're running out of time. I share your concern, believe me, but I share your concern because my concern is that we're becoming more reliant on more state or federal government regulation for our lives. This is a free country. We should be able to speak whatever language we want. And you say, well, what about the government? Well, the government shouldn't be involved in all this stuff in the first place. It ain't in the Constitution. It's all unconstitutional. And you and I could do better taking care of ourselves and our children without all this government regulation. And that's my only point. But I'm in agreement with you. If we're going to accept all this government, then I say, you're absolutely right. So, we have no disagreement.
I agree. Government intrudes in too many ways. But I feel in the same aspect that they're intruding by the ways that you're talking about, the intrusion is having an adverse effect by providing those translators. Because, again, it creates, in my opinion, it creates laziness among those people to say, I don't need to do that. My task, my to-do list is 20 lists down, and if I can eliminate one of those things by saying I don't have to worry, I can go take the driver's license exam in whatever language I want.
You're absolutely,
I can go vote in whatever language I want.
Necessity is the mother of invention. Hey, we only have about a minute to go. Okay, Eddie, would you wrap it up? I'll give you 30 seconds to wrap up. You can say anything you want, but say something nice about me.
Well, I enjoyed it, Joe. Thank you very much for having. I hope I can come back at some point.
Sure.
But it's definitely an interesting conversation and subject. But I truly feel that if those people that come to this country, for whatever reason, whether it's to seek new opportunities, a better life, freedom, whatever it is, if they make that earnest attempt to say, I'm going to take it upon myself to learn the English language and not so much rely on government,
right.
The fact that they're not going to rely on government, I think will eliminate down the road for their future generations, to say, I'm going to go back to Uncle Sam and get this, this, and that.
All right, I would encourage people
to visit our the blog that I created. It's proenglishusa.blogspot.com. You can comment on there. I'm looking forward to some interesting debate and conversation on there. But I feel it's a very important subject. And,
I agree.
I appreciate the opportunity of being on.
Yeah, and let me say this, Eddie. If some goons come to your door to beat you up, I didn't send them. Okay.
I got Italians in my family too.
Oh, okay, good. Hey, Eddie, thank you so much. You were a wonderful guest. It was a lively conversation. I just regret we didn't get any calls in here. We usually do on Sunday night. I don't know what happened. Maybe we were so captivating, they forgot to dial. Okay. Well, you take care.
And
you.
I look forward to coming back anytime.
Yeah, please do. And email me your mailing address and T-shirt size. I'd love to send you a Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Right.
I will.
Thank you so much. All right. Good night.
All right, Joe. Bye. Thank you very much.
Wow, what a conversation. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchaker's Audiology for the financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk. It says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, that'll be Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. For a live broadcast, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.